Hey, this is Greg Sanders. Thanks for listening today. It's our hope that this message will help you connect to God, grow in His Word, and serve the kingdom in a greater capacity. Thanks for listening and enjoy today's message.
Well, welcome to the assembly this summer. We're so glad you're here. We are in the middle of a series called Words to Live By. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7 that a person who hears my words and does them is like a person who built their life, built their house upon a rock, and when the storms came, the house stood. How many want your house to stand? That's sort of a rhetorical question. None of us are intentionally living our lives in a way to shipwreck our marriage or shipwreck our family, but we do know that the storms of life are going to come. And so this summer, we're looking to see what this God's Word, how can we, if we're going to live by the words of God, we've got to know what does the Word of God say, which kind of reminds me also this summer, we are reading the Word of God together. We're seeing what it says, and we're commenting on that. And if you would like to get in on us, with us on our summer reading plan, on that handout you received this morning when you walked in the door, if you didn't get one, you can get one on your way out. There's actually a link to where you can see we as a church, we have over 100 people, or right at 100 people, I believe, last time I looked, people that are reading the Word of God with us every day. People, some of you are leaving comments. Thank you for that. Many of you are encouraging me as I see what you read and what you wrote, what God spoke to you. So if you're not doing that, jump in with us. But I've had a conversation this past week, and it's not a conversation I've had one time. It's not a conversation I've had with one person. It's a conversation I've had with multiple people, multiple times, and I've even had it with myself. Have you ever thought, I've tried my best to change, but I just can't change? You ever had that thought? Maybe you had that thought when it came to your eating habits, right? I try to say no to peanut butter pie, but I just can't say no. I try to say no to peanut butter cup blizzards, but then they put them on sale. It's like this drawing power, and I know what I ought to say no to, but I don't say no to it. And it's kind of funny when it comes to blizzards, but how many know it's not that funny when it comes to real issues of life? When it comes to things like addiction, when it comes to things like relational issues, we keep losing our temper, we keep blowing up in anger, we keep acting in hatred. We keep responding in ways that we know doesn't glorify God. We keep looking at pornography. We keep going down a road that we say we never wanted to go down, and we want to change, and we do our very best efforts to change, and yet we don't change. We control it good for a day or so, but we go back to our old ways. I know I've jumped in on the deep end of the pool with you real quickly, but hey, it's summertime, right? How can we have life changed through God? How does Jesus transform our life? He does so through a word I want to talk to you about this morning. The moment I say the word, it's going to, some of you that have been around church, you're going to think, man, that's old school. Some of you that haven't been around church, you may think that's like Christianese, right? You know there's a such thing called Christianese. It's this language that Christians use that people are outside the church are like, what in the world are you talking about? But I want to tell you there's real value in this word I want to share with you this morning. I want to talk to you about the word holiness. Now, how many of you have heard that word before? Holiness. If I were to take a survey to ask you, what does it mean to be holy? Most of you would have a lot of different definitions. We're going to look at some of those definitions this morning. But I want to tell you what holiness really is. Holiness is the inward transformation that changes us from who we used to be and what we used to do to where now we live a completely different life than we used to live, not because someone has made us change, but because God has changed us from the inside out. See, what I want to tell you this morning is living a holy life is not an outside job, it's an inside job. And some of the reasons we fail at seeing our lives transform is we try to change our lives from the outside in instead of letting God change us from the inside out. And that's a big difference. And so we're going to look at the Word of God this morning, 1 Peter chapter 1. Here comes the words to live by for today. Verse number 14 says, so you must live as God's obedient children. Don't slip back. That's what I was just talking about. How many of you have ever been guilty of slipping backwards in your faith? Right? Don't slip back into your old ways of living to satisfy your own desires. You didn't know any better then. But now, listen to this. Here's the words to live by. Now you must be holy in everything you do, just as God who chose you is holy. For the scriptures say, you must be holy because I am holy. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you. I pray that this morning, Holy Spirit, you'll do what only you can do. Anoint this preacher to preach the words of God, the words of God alone. Anoint our ears, our hearts, our minds to hear what the Holy Spirit wants to say to us. And give us the power and the courage to respond to it. And let us each give you the opportunity to continually change our life and make us holy in your sight. And we'll give you thanks for that. Everybody in the room said amen. Listen to this command real quickly. Be holy because I am holy. Does that command, be holy, does that intimidate anyone in the room besides me? Because I'll just tell you, there's certain days of the week, especially the ones that end with Y, that I don't feel that holy. There are certain days, don't look, y'all are really looking at me like you can't believe I just said that. There are certain days that I just don't know that I'm being as holy as I should. And God says to be holy. That's a huge command. That's like God, look, let me pick on somebody. Addison's a good sport. Addison, would you stand up? That's like God looking at Addison and saying, be tall. You've been trying, right? But he can't do it. It'd be like when the Bible says, be holy. It'd be like God looking at me and say, Greg, grow hair. It'd be like someone looking at the Razorbacks and say, beat Alabama. You know, unless there's some kind of extra help on the inside, you know that in the natural, obviously, it's not going to happen. And yet we read this word to live by. We read God's word and it says to be holy. And some of us in this room, we have spent not a few minutes, we've spent a few years trying to be holy. And we failed. Brother Mark, I've failed at being holy. You know why? Because holiness is not of Greg. Holiness is of God. There's only one person who's holy. Even Jesus said that. There's only one person. He said, why call me good? There's only one that's good. It's God. God's the only one that is really holy. So to say to be holy, when God says be holy, it's just like telling me, grow hair. Addison, be tall. It requires us not to become something we can't become. It's telling us that he wants to do something in us that only he can do. So here's my sermon in a sentence. If your pager goes off, you have to leave. Here's what you need to know. And I'm going to say this to you a couple times because it's not on the board this morning. But here's my sermon in a sentence. Holiness is inward transformation, not just outward modification. I want to say that again. Holiness is inward transformation. Let's say that much together on your mark. Sit, go. Holiness is inward transformation, not just outward modification. And many of us in this room, we have tried for decades to modify our outward life to no avail. Some of you have, you've even made it two or three whole days not doing the things you don't want to do. And at the end of day three, you feel empty and you still feel dirty and you still feel unfulfilled. And the reason is all you've done for 3 days is modify your outside without allowing God to transform your inside. But I got good news for you this morning. God is willing and able to transform the inside this morning. You can leave the darkness and the death of yesterday behind. Amen. He is a God who does the inward transformation. And so when he says these words, be holy as I am holy, he's not telling you to twist your life around. He's saying, I want to turn your life around. As a matter of fact, I want to change it from the inside out. Holiness is not conformity to a bunch of rules. It is a surrender to the ruler of the universe. That's holiness this morning. I know that's difficult for me because I grew up thinking holiness was all about the outside. If you're, now y'all are too young to know any of this stuff, but once upon a time, if your hair was too short, That wasn't holy, ladies, right? There's a certain part of a lady's hair back here. I don't know anything about it, but I know you couldn't cut it. I was unholy. Guys, if your hair was too long, that was considered unholy during certain times. If you went certain places, our teenagers just got back from youth camp. And I remember when I was a kid, we had to wear blue jeans all summer long because shorts weren't holy. Thank the Lord we figured that one out. Man, I'm just simply saying that sometimes we think of holiness as only outward modification, when what God wants to do is change us from the inside out. So if holiness isn't about the outside, it's about the inside, what does holiness really mean? If you got your notes this morning, I'll tell you, here's the first three blanks. Holiness, first off, it means to cut or to separate. So it's kind of a twofold. It means I'm on a, that word cut, it means I'm cutting away from something. I'm taking something that is clean and I'm separating it from what's not clean. That's to make it holy. It's to separate it from, but it's not just to separate it from something, it's also to separate it to something. We separate ourselves from sin and we allow God to separate ourselves to Him. That's why 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 16 says this: what agreement can exist between God or the temple of God and the temple of idols? For we are the temple of the living God. And He said, I will live with them and walk with them and I'll be their God and they'll be my people. Therefore, listen to this. Here comes the call for holiness. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate. That's holiness, to come out and be separate. Touch not the unclean thing. The Lord says, and I will receive you, and I'll be a father to you, and you'll be my sons and my daughters. So verse number 17, it highlights that holiness is this process where God separates us from our past, separates that which isn't clean, but He doesn't just separate us and sit us out here in oblivion somewhere, and now we're separate from our past. But the good news is He moves us from the lost category to the found category, and now we've been separated from death, and we've been made holy unto life. So He doesn't just take us out of something, He puts us into something as well. It's like this. Imagine with me I don't know why I'm going to raise your back trip today, but imagine with me if the University of Arkansas signed a new player who's been playing for Texas Tech. Might be a good idea. You know what they're going to do? The first thing they're going to do is they're not going to say, hey, just stay in Texas, stay in their program, and meet us in Fayetteville on October the 1st. No, what are they going to do? The first thing they're going to do, as quick as possible, they're going to separate him from that program, from that train of thought, from that strategy, from that coaching, from that culture. They're going to separate him from that, and they're going to move him to Fayetteville. But when they get him to Fayetteville, you know, they're not just going to say, okay, now you're here. No, they're going to separate him again from the general student body into the player's dorm, the player's culture. They're going to begin to enamor him with new culture, with new strategy, with new values. And the same is true. You may say, well, why does God want us to be holy? What's the big deal? Because He is trying to separate us from our past and those values, but also separate us to new values that He values. You know, we shouldn't be shocked when the world we live in doesn't value what we value. Amen? I know sometimes you watch the news and you get mad because you're like, well, how can they value that and not value righteousness or not value what God values? I'll tell you why, because they haven't been separated. They're still in it. So we can't be mad. This isn't my notes. This is just free for you. Don't be mad at sinners when sinners do what sinners do. Amen? There was once upon a time when you did what you did because that was who you were. But thank God, He's made us holy. He's moved us. He's separated us into something else. Here's the second definition of holiness. Is holiness deals with proximity to God. The first word, or the first time this word is used in the Bible, is found in Exodus chapter 3. You may know the story. Moses, one of God's leaders of the past, was keeping his father-in-law's sheep. And he looked over and he saw a bush that was burning but it wasn't consumed. It wasn't burned up. And so Moses walked over near the bush. And when he got close to the bush to check out, why is this thing burning? And yet it's not burning up. It's not going away. It's sustaining itself. This is out of the ordinary. The Bible says when he got close to it, the voice of God came from the bush and he said these words to Moses. What did he say? You can tell me. Yeah, I can't understand it. You're all mumbling. But he says, take off your shoes because the ground you're standing on is what? It's holy. God's letting Moses know you're getting closer to me now than you've ever been before. How many want to get closer to God than you've ever been before? How does that happen? It happens as we submit to the holiness of God. And I want to tell you, I want to point this out to you. Moses didn't take off his shoes to get closer to God. He took off his shoes because he was closer to God. I hope you don't miss that. Some of you have been trying to take off your shoes and take this off and take that off so I can get closer to God. Well, listen, you don't do things to get closer to God. You do things because I am close to God, because I am who he says I am in Christ. I'm a brand new creature, so therefore, I'm going to put off the old and I'm going to take on the new, not to get something, but because I've got something. And if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you've already got all that you need. Holiness is just responding to that. So it deals with our proximity to the Lord. And every married person in the room knows that you can be in the same house with your spouse and be 150 miles apart, right? Some of you sleep in a twin bed, but you can drive an 18-wheeler down the middle of it. Right? You're in the same room, but you're not in the... So proximity isn't just talking about physical proximity, right? It's talking about relational proximity. And holiness is our relational proximity to God. Listen to Ephesians chapter 2. It says, but you have been unified, or you've been united with Christ Jesus. You were once far away. How many would? Yep, once upon a time that was me. But listen to this. But now... Say this with me, but now. Let's say it real loud. But now. But now I have been brought near, and so have you. If you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have been brought near through the blood of Jesus. And holiness is just simply our response to recognizing from the inside out, God has brought me near to him, and so now I'm going to respond to him. And as we respond to him, here's what happens. We become more aware of our proximity to God. Because we've taken our shoes off. We're taking off what he tells us to take off our life. And we become more aware of our proximity. And here's the third thing. Holiness, third definition. It denotes that we belong to God. Why would the Lord say that you got to be holy just as I'm holy? Because it proves we belong to him. Many of you are reading the New Testament with us as a church. But have you ever read the Old Testament and wondered what is up with all the rules? Don't eat this. Don't touch that. Don't go there. Don't. It's all, you know, all that was trying to do one thing. Number one, it's trying to show us our need for a Savior. But even beyond that, it was showing that the people of God belonged to God. It was denoting them as certain people. You know, when I get a book or when someone gives me a Bible, one of the first things I do is if I don't get my name put on the front of it, I write it on the inside of it. Because if someone picks it up, I want them to know it belongs to me. When we go to the airport and travel, have you discovered that the suitcase people made more than one suitcase that looks like yours? Have you discovered that? I mean, you didn't know that there was 40,000 blue suitcases with wheels on it until you went to the airport. And so you put your name on it so that people recognize it as yours. And holiness is God's process of putting his name on us so that we are recognized as his. So now we know a little bit about what it means to live holy lives. Now here comes the big question. How can we do it? How can we live? Be holy. Let God transform us from the inside out. Well, how in the world can we do that? And I'm so glad you asked me because I'm going to answer. In Matthew chapter 23, look at this scripture. says, "You blind Pharisees, first wash the inside of the cup and the dish, and then the outside will become clean also." Did you pick that up on that? You start with the inside. You're starting to figure out why I have a cup today. It's not because I'm thirsty. It's because we're talking about holiness. Goes on to say, verse number 27 says, "For you're like whitewashed tombs. You're beautiful on the outside, but on the inside you're filled with dead people's bones and all sorts of impurity. Outwardly you look like righteous people." For too long, too many of us have thought that holiness was just about the outside. How clean are we on the outside? But Jesus says, but inwardly, your hearts are filled with hypocrisy and lawlessness. Jesus was concerned about the inside because, and he goes on to say, but if you'll let him cleanse the inside, guess what? The outside gets clean also. So I'm praying today, the Lord, that now that we know that holiness is an inside job, Lord, would you come in and just clean the inside of each of us today? And here's why we need him to do that. Because number one, we are often blind to our own need for God. Look at the first thing Jesus says. He says, "You blind Pharisees." You may be thinking, well, Pastor, I'm not a Pharisee. Well, if you'll be honest, I think all of us have a little bit of Pharisee in us. Right? You know what a Pharisee was? A Pharisee was a person that knew the rules so well they didn't need to see their need for Jesus. And sometimes we feel like we know the rules of life so well that we don't see our need for Jesus. But Isaiah said in chapter 64, verse number 6, it says, "We are all infected with impurities of sin." All of us in this room, we have been infected by sin. And sometimes we forget our need of God. You know, the Bible says, Isaiah is a prime example. There's a scripture I love in Isaiah chapter 6, verse number 5. Isaiah says these words. He says, "Woe to me, for I am of a person of ruin, for I have unclean lips." You know why he says that scripture? Is on the wall for you. You know why Isaiah says that scripture? He says that scripture because he's coming to the very presence of the Lord. And at the presence of the Lord comes an instantaneous revelation of his need for the Lord, of how impure. You know, we worship every Sunday before we bring the reading of God's word, before we pray for people we worship. And I know some of you think we worship because we like the music and we worship because, you know, it's just part of the order of service. But worship is really strategic because when we really worship God, what it does is it brings us into the presence of the Lord. And before the preacher ever says the first thing about salvation, when you enter the presence of the Lord, the Spirit of God has already spoken to you about what's right and what's wrong in your life. Matter of fact, let me just say this. I may hurt somebody's feelings, but if you have worshiped, I'll put that in quotation marks, you've sang the songs and you lifted your hands and you shouted and you did all that stuff, and at the end of it, your heart hasn't changed a bit, that really wasn't worship. Because when you're in the presence of God, we don't just see him, but we see our need for him. I read this story about a man who went shopping one day, and he bought this beautiful new vase. And he took it home and he put this vase on the mantle of his fireplace. And once he put that vase, he went and sat in his chair and he was admiring his new vase. But then he realized that compared to that vase, my drapes look really dingy. So he went and got new drapes as well. He went and sat back down and thought, man, against those new drapes, my wallpaper looks really dated. That looks really ugly. And so he ended up having to change the whole room because he injected one new thing in it. Several months ago, we came in here, I guess about a year ago, we came in here and we put this new platform down that I'm standing on this morning. And many of you walked up to me and said, "Pastor, you know, now we got this new stage, this carpet looks horrible." Right? Remember that? Some of you didn't even notice the carpet had holes in it and had stains all over the place until we put the new stage down. And so what did we start? We had to start changing the carpet, which we did. If you're new to the church, by the way, don't insult our carpet now. You'll hurt our feelings. It's brand new. But the injection of one thing brought attention to other things. If That's how holiness works. We invite God into our heart. We invite Jesus into our life. And all of a sudden, everything we see in our life, we see through a new light. Why? Because we're not seeing it through the eyes and our old ways anymore. We're now seeing it through, how does it compare to Jesus? I would challenge you today, continually view your life through the eyes of Jesus. Too many times we get our definition of holiness, what's right, what's wrong, by comparing ourselves to other people, other churches, other families. What we really ought to do is we should also always compare ourselves to Jesus. Because in that moment, we'll see our need for holiness. But in that moment, God will begin to transform us like he wants us to be. Which brings me to point number two, is to continually allow God to cleanse you from the inside out. How do I live a holy life? How do I be holy as Jesus commanded, as the Word of God commanded? How can I be holy for he's holy? As I said earlier, it's not about just getting the outside modified. It's not outward modification. It's inward transformation. And so the transformation always starts on the inside. Have you ever had some coffee? If you're like me, you got to put some creamer in there to make it palatable for you. Have you ever had a cup of coffee that you only drank like this much of it? And then you put your cup down and you forgot about it for a week? Or a month? Or 6 months? And then you go back to it. And you look in there and you have a really cool science project right inside your coffee cup. Yeah. Let me ask you, if you got that or something like it inside your coffee cup, how clean do I have to get the outside before you're willing to drink the inside? Huh? How much? And yet some of us, that describes the inside of our life. And all we've been doing for decades is trying to shine up the outside. Can I just tell you, when Jesus is begging to transform the inside, he is begging, he is willing, he is waiting, he is ready for you to put away the polishing tile and just say, Lord, come on in and make the difference that only you can make in my life. Friends, he is ready this morning. If you invite him in, your old can be gone and the new can come. But you got to say, Lord, I want you to do that. I want you to come in and cleanse me. And the Word of God, it cleanses me from the inside out. Now, are there absolute truths that we have to live under as believers? Sure. Should I do my best to conform to God's Word in every way I can? Absolutely. But that has to be the byproduct of what he's done on the inside. And not just live my whole life. Listen, if you could get your whole life cleansed without Jesus, he wouldn't have to come to earth and die on a cross and rise again on the third day. But he knew that on our best day, our righteousness, our holiness would be like a filthy rag. So he came to do what we couldn't do. He came to cleanse us not from the outside in, but from the inside out. Listen to Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 15. It says, the Holy Spirit testifies to us about this. First, he says, this is the covenant I will make with them after those days, declares the Lord. Listen to this. I will put my laws in their, what's that word? In their hearts. I'm going to put my law in their hearts and inscribe them on their minds. You know, every December, Addison and me and Double D and Natalie and a few others in the room, Kate, we get this form about this long from the National Assemblies of God office. And we have to go through and check That, yeah, I still believe this. Yep, not doing that. Yep, doing this. And can I tell you, in all the years of having to live up to their expectations, not one time have I ever thought, yeah, I guess I'll do that. You know why? Because here's what I'm learning. The Holy Spirit writing stuff in my heart, it requires more out of me than any man could ever require out of me. But responding what the Holy Spirit says to me also brings more joy than pleasing any man could ever bring to me. That's why Jesus said that following his commands are not burdensome. They're not hard. They're written on our heart. It's the response to him. He cleanses us from the inside, and just by nature, the outside gets clean too. But I do want to challenge you this way. I know I'm going kind of long this morning. Please forgive me. But here's a huge thing. Third thing about holiness is this. We must leverage. And I know that point doesn't match what you got in your notes, but you can mutter through it there. We got to leverage our external behavior. Now that we are clean on the inside, we shouldn't be ashamed of the fact that we're cleaned up on the outside. Listen, some of you, God has transformed your marriage, and you need to stop being quiet about it. Jesus said, "Let your light so shine before men that they will see your good works and give praise to your heavenly Father." So we got to be willing to leverage this holiness we found in God to others as a witness of what God has done in us. And that word leverage, Miggy, if you want to come, maybe I'll start being quiet in a little while. That word leverage, I looked it up. The word leverage means this. It's borrowed capital. That's what happens when you leverage something. You borrow capital that belongs to someone else. What I want to challenge you to do is leverage your holiness. Remember, that holiness you have is not yours. Right? We're only holy because Jesus came in and took up residence and began to clean us from the inside out. But now that he's cleansed us from the inside out, and we're clean on the outside, let's let the world see what he's done outwardly, and let it truly be a testimony of what he's doing on the inside. See, for too many years, I know this is, I'm not trying to be mean, but for too many years, we've tried to make the outside clean, and then someone comes over and they look on the inside. And Brother Steve, our outside was put together enough, they asked us a question. But when they got close to us, what they saw was repulsive instead of attractive. Some of you I've probably been that person before. Some of you, maybe you've ran into someone. Maybe you're coming to Jesus was sidetracked or delayed for a while because you saw someone that on the outside, they had it all put together. But then you got to look on the inside and it wasn't put together at all. It wasn't as advertised. I'm not talking about perfection, but you just discovered it's all a front. Let me just say this as humbly. I'm not the perfect person. I fail every day. I need God's holiness. But let me just say this. The world has seen so many counterfeits. Let's let them see the real deal in us. Amen? Let's let our kids see the real deal in us. Let's let our coworkers, when they see that, oh, on the outside it looks pretty, when they look on the inside, it's clean too. And there's no way you can do that from the outside in. Holiness happens from the inside out. And God wants to make you clean this morning. From the inside out. From the inside out. You bow your heads with me this morning. Some of you walked in this morning and you're, I'm not pointing fingers. I'm not doing anything. I'm just trying to convey feelings this morning. Some of you have walked in and you just feel dirty. You feel like the inside of that dirty coffee cup. Maybe you've done a really good job. Maybe you're a professional coffee cup cleaner-upper. The outside is beautiful, but on the inside, you know. But today, I'm not speaking to the outward part at all. God's going to take care of that himself. But I'm speaking to the inward condition of your heart today. Are you allowing God to transform you from the inside out?
Hello, this is Greg Sanders, pastor of the Assembly here in Cabot. I want to say thanks for listening today. If you are ever in the Cabot area, we'd love to have you join us for a service. For service times, check out our webpage at theassemblycabot.com. Thanks again for listening. We hope you have a great day, and God bless.